He's not the Messiah. He's a very naughty boy indeed.
How do you do this? It's been so long since I've done a live bench. I'm sitting here in the Troubadour Theatre, Wembley, London, where Ad Eve and Coffin Karen, a.k.a. Carla, has come to watch Newsies, a much underrated Disney musical, I want to say. And I'm just sitting here. I didn't get a ticket because Eve got tickets on Bertie, she got two. And she chose to bring her lovely auntie Carla. So I was able to come down with them to get Carla on the train for such a good staff discount. So I was going to walk around Wembley, I was going to do all that, I was going to do all the other. I think maybe I've just brought Morlando back. I think I'm in a better headspace. I think the podcasts are almost, my God, what is it? Therapeutic in one respect. So I've brought Morlando back in recent weeks with Lord Luke, the amazing and beautiful human being that is Lord Luke. And I'm literally sitting here having a bevy, chatting to Nikki and Dan on Discord, something that I've never really done before. It's just amazing to get appreciation and I'm going to say love. They don't love me. I'm not their greatest human being. Do you know what I mean? People have reached out and said how much they love listening to the stuff that we produce. And it's just like, wow. And Paul Brill as well inspires me every day. Listening to his podcasts, which are very personal. And I thought, I don't know if I can do a personal podcast. I think I can do a meandering ramble podcast where I chat about stuff. Maybe talk about where I am in life and whatever without being too personal. Because you've got not that it's bad that you what you do, Paul, because I listen to every episode, I love them. But yeah, I can't remember. So long since I've done this. I mean, the last episode there, I ended it during COVID lockdown. Glenn Ward, 2021, so it's like 2 years later. So I don't even know if anyone has got this in their feed anymore, or if they've unsubscribed it. Never had a lot of listens, although the COVID. The last episode has had over 200 downloads, which is massive for this show. Burned me, I doubt that. This has had over 4,000. So basically what happened, why I brought Morlando back, I went on that Florida podcast and talked to Kevin Curtis Allen about dining on and off property at Disney Universal this year, because we're going back the first time since 2019. Prices are astronomical. Prices in Florida have gone through the roof, all that type of stuff. And it was on the Morlando feed, the old Morlando feed. And I had such a lovely time. I just started listening to the old Morlando shows, basically. And fucking hell, I just loved them. So I reached out to Luke. I brought them back. I mean, if Luke had said no, I'd have still done it anyway as a solo. But I was so overjoyed when Luke said, yeah. So we've already recorded the first episode. It's coming out on the 1st of April. I went back and Kevin gave me access to the old feed, which I greatly appreciate. And I was able to take the Luke episodes. I didn't take the Simon Isbell or the Phil episodes. Not out of being spiteful or nothing like that. I just I needed a cut-off point. I didn't want to take all the episodes. I wanted to re-establish the show with some content before the new stuff started up again. So I've done it on Anchor, so I don't know if it works on Apple. I put it into season one, season two. So all the old stuff, season one. Season two, the new stuff. And see what happens. I think it's only going to be monthly. Although, I think there's a thirst for it. I really do. I've nearly booked Kevin Curtis in. I said I'd give him first dibs in the first episode. And see what happens then. But, yeah, there you go. So, where am I? I'm at Health and Safety Rep now with Asla, working in the towing company that I work in, which is absolutely brilliant. I'm back in college one day a week. I have been for about a year now. I'm now doing a health and safety diploma TUC course at Eugene York University, doing a degree. Absolutely unbelievable. Unbelievably proud of her. It's fucking unbelievable, really, what she's doing. She's living her life. She's living her best life, I think. Our Grace, unbelievable. Just fucking works so hard in school as well. Just, oh. I can't believe we've got two kids like this. I mean, I'm a tit. And I don't know where to get it from. Anyway, I gave blood yesterday for the first time in 20 years. I think it was 1999 last time I gave blood. It was because our Eve gave blood for the first time this week, and she sort of inspired me to, I don't know, humanity a little bit more with a bit of my fucking essence. And I basically started to faint. So I got my blood out. They got a pint of blood out of me in 8 minutes. It fucking flew out of me. And you have these boss chairs. Now, I used to sit on a bed back in the day, lie on a bed. These boss chairs, I think they've got my way. They tip you. So they had me tipped right back to get the blood out of me. And then they tip me onto the middle, and I'm fine, and I'm chatting to the girl. And then she tips me up, sitting upright, and I just started to go. Instantly, I just felt it in my head. Just started to go fucking fuzzy. Everything started to go echoey, pins and needles, you know, all that type of stuff. And I just said, girl, I think I'm about to faint, you know, straight away. She didn't question it. She just went, okay. Tipped me straight back to horizontal. When I just walked away, within 2 minutes, within 30 seconds, I had an ice pack behind my neck. Then I sat like that for a couple of minutes, and then she tipped me back to 45 degrees again. And she said, drink this ice cold water. I drank that. And I didn't faint. I nearly fainted. It was fucking unbelievable. What a feeling. And using my blood for that, because they told me before I went in, my blood that day was getting used to make eye drops for people for some sort of condition. You take something out of that blood and use it there to make eye drops for up to 50 people. Whatever the condition is, you know better than me, listener. Do you know what, right, fuck it, I'm going to bring this podcast back as well. I've said it now. I'm going to meander. I might interview people, I might have a chat with people. So I'm going to listen to, I think there's some fucking banging episodes of this out there, you know. I'm sure I've done some fucking drunken ones. I'm sure this was the feed that I was twatted one night with me. Let me think on that. I'm recording this now in one AirPod, so don't know what the quality is, but I mean, this is a fucking, it's £6.20 for the Camden Ale, the pint, and I'm the only one in the bar. The staff in here, there's staff everywhere, obviously, because it's a theatre and it's dead intense, dead quick. I mean, there's about fucking 12 staff in here, and they're all fucking boss, dead polite, dead kind, letting me just sit here and have a bevy, not causing any bother. It's been a lovely little day, I'll be honest with you. Any day where I'm not in work at the moment, and I won't talk about who I work for, What I'll talk about briefly is the effect this national dispute has had on me and my colleagues. It's been so draining. I mean, we've been on strike now since, I want to say, July last year. I think the first strike day was August last year when I was in New York, so I actually missed it. We've had, as left members, we've had 7 strike days. As individuals within our company, we decided, I individually decided to not work any overtime while the dispute was on. Unfortunately, over a period of time, so did the rest of my colleagues, unfortunately for the general public. So all the drivers on the company I work for stopped working overtime. And we did it to try and get resolution. I did it to try and get resolution. Plus, you're in dispute. This is what balloting for industrial action is. You're literally in dispute. So why would you do things for the company that you work for while you're in dispute? So overtime is helping that company out. So I haven't done any overtime. And because of that, a lot of terms and conditions have been burned to the ground. And you've got a link, you've got jobs, and you're booking on for your job, and that job doesn't exist anymore. On literally there and then, we can do whatever we want with you. So all the stability has gone out of the job. And this job, the bedrock of being a train driver is stability. You've got to be so focused. I know it looks dead easy. You just waggle a stick. You're doing 125 miles an hour for 2 hours, 3 hours. You've got 400 or 500 people sitting behind you. Any mistake can get you in court and can get you done for murder and manslaughter, right? So you're so focused. I can't have words with Kerry and then go to work. I have to have some sort of resolution that I can take that situation out of my head and then go and drive a train and drive it safely and to the best of my abilities. At the moment, I'm having arguments with my colleagues within other grades, resources, planning, whatever you want to call it, phoning up, having confrontation with you, and then you have to go out and do your job, sometimes not knowing if you're going to get disciplined for what you've just said, all this type of stuff. And it's exhausting, and it's a collective thing. It's like we're an organism, the grade of train driver. You're all together in it. You're like in a, I don't know, it's weird, can't explain it. And we're all suffering. I'm not sleeping. I'm exhausted going to work. I'm having 5 hours sleep if I'm lucky, just because stuff is playing on your mind all the time. So I can't wait for resolution. I can't wait for this dispute to be over. And if this whole dispute just seems to have been orchestrated by this government as a dead cat to throw into the room, it's unbelievable, because the RMT Network Rail ballot has been resolved with just a pay rise. But some of the stuff they were trying to oppose was unbelievable. And it's just gone. They just give them a pay rise. And you're like, why have you just done that for 6 or 7 months of venomous hatred against an industry and the employees? And what you've done to the nurses? Oh, don't even start me. It's fucking barbaric. The teachers, the fire brigade, the police, anyone. We're getting treated like fucking cattle. And we're getting treated like cannon fodder. And we're expendable. And every death, whether it be through fucking suicide or COVID or undiagnosed cancer, every death could have been fucking prevented. And these are actively culling the population. It sounds fucking mental. Do you know what it is, right? Everything that's gone on in the last 3 years, since 2016, since Brexit, and I voted for Brexit, and it's a shame that I voted for Brexit. The only thing that keeps me sane is Kerry voting to remain. I voted for Brexit because I'm an idiot. I voted for Brexit because I didn't know any better. I voted for Brexit because a Tory Prime Minister was telling me to vote Remain. And I know the Labour one was, or the Tory was. So I fucked them off and voted to leave. No other reason. And these cunts are dining out on my idiotic fucking behaviour. Absolutely fucking ridiculous. Labour at this moment should be out of sight, right? But the Tories are actually reeling them in, because Keir Starmer is as dull as fucking dishwater. He's fucking Labour, mate. You should be a bit left-wing. You shouldn't be central. You shouldn't be so far sitting on the fucking fence that you've got a fucking rod up your back. You're a fucking bell end. You need to fucking sort it out. Labour are going to lose the next election because Keir Starmer can't be anything but central. He doesn't stand for anything, honestly. So that's where I am anyway. I don't know. What do you think? I've been rambling now for 16 minutes. But oh, yeah, it's got a right touch on it. Yeah, so I think, I love Nick's walking movies. Have you seen our What's Up podcast with Simon, Phil, Joe, Listener Joe, we'll call them, Listener Joe, and Paul Brill? We literally have got a WhatsApp group, and we record the messages, and whatever gets said in that WhatsApp group goes out as a message. Unbelievable. It's ridiculous. Died a bit of a death of late, been very quiet. I think I'll go and leave a message now than a narcissist. But it's just an idea, just a concept, just another way of doing podcasts, that you can just leave these little voice messages, these little moments of time, and then they all just get put together and see what happens. It's only about 4 episodes so far. Yeah. But no, definitely look right. I'm back. I haven't said anything too offensive here regarding my workplace. So if anyone from work is listening to this, you can't disagree with what I've said. Morale is in the toilet. You need to fucking step up. Yeah. Sound. I don't know if I say cue the music on this one or not. Really don't. Get off my bench.
This podcast is part of the After Dark Podcast Network.